Yeah, so usually it's three sessions, and each session, I think CoolSculpting, their recommendations are $1,500 a session. So yeah, 5,000 is in line with that.
So they're freezing your fat cells?
Yeah, so I mean, it's nerdy and a lot of science, but yes, they basically freeze the fat cells and that kills them, and then your body is able to, like, there's cells that go in and kind of then like eat the fat cells, and then you just kind of like pee and get rid of the dead fat cells.
That is very interesting because in theory it sounds like it would work, but it sounds like it doesn't work all the time.
So I think it works in a, in a specific patient population. It's good, I would say, for someone who has just like a stubborn pocket of fat. It's not going to work if you have excess skin and extra fat, and your goal is to get a tight.
Hey guys, it's Mel, your host of the Cutting Edge Podcast. This is a show where we talk transformation from every angle, body, mind, and confidence, with a little sparkle and a whole lot of truth. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Dr. Omar Vedas, and the plastic surgery pro, and Ashlyn Douglas Farnes, our go-to therapist and mindset queen. Now, quick disclaimer, none of us are your doctor or therapist. We are just here sharing real talk, real stories, and real growth. So grab your protein shake, settle in, and let's get into it. This is The Cutting Edge.
Hey, it's Ashlyn. Just one more thing before we begin. I will be sharing some of my own plastic surgery journey, which is personal to me and may not reflect what others go through. And if you're a current client of mine, please talk with me first before listening, because knowing personal details about me could affect your therapy. And your well-being always comes first. Now on to the show.
Welcome back to the Cutting Edge Podcast. We are the three that give you the most up-to-date information on resources and safetiness and your mental health and then the actual plastic surgery itself. So I'm going to be your host, Mel, and we're going to be talking about surgical versus non-surgical when it comes to plastic surgery. And of course, I have Mr. Dr. Betas and Ms. Ashlyn Douglas Barnes. So let's get on with the chat, guys. How are you guys doing today?
That was quite the entrance.
I'm good. New year, off to a good start.
Yes.
Had a great case today, so.
Ooh. Oh, what was your case today?
Well, what was the case?
Today, I did a hybrid tummy tuck, so it's a little bit of an unusual surgery. So it's essentially taking a C-section scar and then doing a full muscle repair through that incision. And then you take out a little bit of skin in the lower abdomen. So it's more than a mini tummy tuck, but it's through a mini tummy tuck incision.
Is this someone who is pretty fit before
they had...
This
is not a weight loss patient. Yes.
Yes. I was going to say, this sounds like a very fit person.
Not a weight loss patient.
Pretty fit.
It's a woman who had one child and had some muscle separation as a result and is, yes, otherwise very fit. Low BMI, never had any weight problems or overweight problems. So. But it's also
interesting,
cool
though, to like have different, be able to do different, like it not always be mass weight loss, and sometimes it be more like a through like a very specific incision that's already there. Because do you not do a new incision then? Like you just go through the C-section?
So she did have a C-section, although you don't have to have a C-section. But I say that just because people know generally how long that scar is, so it's like smaller than your hip to hip scar. And yes, we cut out the old scar because we're taking out some skin anyway. So we cut above and below and then remove the scar as we're taking out that skin. She didn't sign social media consent, but I'm going to ask her on Thursday when she's in the office. Hopefully she'll sign in. She verbally agreed, and for some reason we missed the form, so I wasn't able to post the case today.
Oh, yes, guys. He posts all the time these really cool cases. So check him out. I always have their handles linked in the description. And it's so fun to see what Dr. Betas is doing, to be honest with you. I'm like, I will rewind and watch it a few times. So your watch count, by the way, is probably crazy because I'm like, wait, I think I missed something. Pause.
Why I have 100,000 views this week.
Well, no, that calf one, that was crazy. I was like, because you told us about it, and I'm like, what would that even look like? And then you had the video. I was like, oh, that's what that would look like. That is fascinating.
That one was wild. Wild. Okay. So should we talk about the surgical ones first, or should we go non-surgical first?
Oof, that's a good question. I don't know. How should we structure this?
I feel like we've talked a lot about surgical, so maybe we probably should start with non-surgical.
Non-surgical?
which is so funny because I think of non-surgical equals not effective. So change my mind. I think I've done a lot of non-invasive stuff that was completely like, I honestly, I thought colonoscoping was scam. It didn't do anything for me. So I'm quite shocked when people are like, oh, that was helpful. And I was like, really? So like, tell us why. Yes.
Have you tried it? Oh, okay. I think you might have talked about that before.
I spent a ton of money on it. It made it worse.
Well, so do you, it made it worse? Like, were you diagnosed with something called PAH, paradoxical adipose hyperplasia?
I don't know. So essentially, it made it so that the instead of it being like this, it then was like this. I don't know.
It didn't make it grow. It didn't make your fat grow.
It kind of looked like it. Is that like a thing? Hmm. No one ever diagnosed anything about it. And I have lipoedema, which that was my conclusion on why it didn't work. Because,
hey friends, this episode is sponsored by findabariatrictherapist.com because bariatric life is full of ups and downs and everything in between, but you don't have to go through it alone. FindABariatricTherapist.com makes it easy to connect with therapists who truly understand your journey, the mindset shifts, the identity changes, and all the real-life challenges that come after surgery. Because therapy designed for bariatric patients changes everything. Visit FindABariatricTherapist.com and find your support today.
I don't know.
I don't want to say a condition, but I guess a rare risk or complication of colonoscoping called PAH or paradoxical adipose hyperplasia, which means your tissue grows instead of shrinks after colonoscoping. There was a celebrity, Ava Evangelista. Is that a famous person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is her first name Eva or is it just something? Linda? Linda Evangelista?
I know who you're talking because she had colonoscoping and it like ruined her.
Correct. What? So she had that complication. It's very rare. I mean, no, I don't know why people are thinking like this is going to happen like 10% of the time. It's like less than one in a, I don't know, 100,000 or something. Maybe less than 1,000. I don't know.
Of course, I would get that.
First of all, colonoscoping, for anyone who's watching and doesn't know what it is cryolipolysis, meaning they freeze the fat. So they put these kind of large suction machines or whatever like onto your area that you're treating. Usually you need 3 sessions. I don't know how it feels, Ashton. You can probably describe it, but it should be like a cold sensation and then the fat kind of freezes in your body then starts to dissolve the fat.
I also had a more common reaction to it where I have like a nerve explosion. So it was very painful after the fact that I had to go on
explosion.
What is that stuff called? The nerve medicine.
Like a gabapentin or a Lyrica or something.
Yes. Okay. And so that's more common, but I literally got colonoscoping when they changed the machine. So half of mine was with the old machine and then half was with the new machine. I did not get the weird side effects of the like nerve explosion thing. With the second machine, I only had it with the first. But yeah, it's super cold. The worst part of it is when they're done, they massage it for 5 minutes. So it is frozen. It does not feel great. And then they go in and touch it.
But it's your skin.
Use a bag of ice too. Don't do that.
I feel like I spent a lot of money and that's about what I did. And then it made it worse so I had it on my stomach. I had it on more like the upper part. So like where eventually I got the reverse tummy tuck. That's the part we were working on. And we did it this way. Like one section, that made it worse. And so we did one across, and that didn't do anything. But I still felt like the two pieces, like it almost, I don't know, very, very strange. And I spent a lot of money on it.
I want to understand.
Much cheaper to have lipo. Better results. It wasn't cheaper. I should fix that. It wasn't cheaper, but it wasn't that much less expensive.
Than lipo itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been more beneficial for you to do lipo than do the...
I think I spent like $5,000 on colonoscoping and the actual lipo I had was like $8,000.
Yeah, so usually it's 3 sessions and each session, I think colonoscoping, you know, their recommendations are $1,500 a session. So yeah, $5,000 is in line with that.
So they're freezing your fat cells?
Yeah, so I mean... It's nerdy and a lot of science, but yes, they basically freeze the fat cells and that kills them. And then your body is able to, like, there's cells that go in and kind of then, like, eat the fat cells, and then you just kind of, like, pee and get rid of the dead fat cells.
Huh. That is very interesting, because then theory, it sounds like it would work, but it sounds like it doesn't work all the time.
So I think it works in a, you know, in a specific patient population. It's good, I would say, for someone who has just like a stubborn pocket of fat. It's not going to work if you have excess skin and extra fat and your goal is to get a tight result. Because if you have extra skin and you go in, whether it's liposuction or cool sculpting, if you go in and remove fat, you are making the skin worse, right? Like you're making your ratio of skin to fat worse, and that's what's going to cause more loose skin. So in someone, I would say, and it's going to work better in someone who's young, right? Better skin quality in general. Okay. So someone young, someone with little to no excess skin. So again, that's going to like exclude most weight loss patients.
Yep.
And just like a small area, small pocket of fat, usually like the love handle area, the flanks or the back. You know, I don't think I've ever seen a weight loss patient, and we're talking people who've lost like 50 pounds or more, who would be a very good candidate for cool sculpting unless you were just like spot treating a small area.
Okay. Makes sense. Because I'm like, I mean, I have pockets of fat, but really it's a pocket of fat on fat. So it's like, it's not going to work. Like I would need an actual like plastic surgery for me. For
yeah,
sure.
I think part of the tough part is the idea of that sounded great. In reality, I needed lipo like one session and then the next one I needed to have skin removed. And so when you said, oh, for $5,000 and no downtime, you can have what you think would get that result, that sounded great. But the reality was that's not what I needed, and I wasn't going to get the results unless I had a two-step process of both lipo and,
You have to be a good candidate, and you have to have realistic expectations. I mean, the thing they'll sell you is the downtime is a lot less, right, different. I mean, you can go in and get it done over lunchtime. And be back at work, or are you back at work like the same day, next day? Yeah.
Yeah. Right? No, I went
right. So it was like zero downtime. But again, it's not going to make sense for most weight loss patients.
So sad.
So probably not one of those non-surgical things that I would say is going to make sense.
Especially for like the demographic that we're in, it's just not.
What I'm saying. Yes. Not. Yeah. This is not the demographic for cool sculpting.
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, make one more point is another thing you have to be careful of in general, right? As a patient, as a consumer, when you walk into someone's office and let's say you're interested in cool sculpting, well, if they have the machine, they've spent the money. And if that's all they have, that's all they're going to recommend, right? Because they don't have another tool or something to sell you or to offer you. And they have a negative balance on the machine that they spent a lot of money on. Those things aren't cheap. So you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt.
And that was 100% the place I went to because it was my hair removal place. So then they got the cool sculpting machine.
Yep. Now they got to sell it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now they got to get it paid. Yeah. Because I'm looking at sculpting stuff. Have you heard of M-Sculpt for muscle building and toning?
So M-Sculpt, different, totally different device, different machine. It's EM-Sculpt.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what you're talking about. So that's a muscle toning device. I've never tried it myself. I've heard it works. I mean, it's like going to the gym, right? Like you can't use that machine, and then it requires upkeep. Let's put it this way. Yeah. So like, just like going to the gym. I think it puts on depending on the muscle you're trying to work out. Like you can do the glutes, you can do the abs, you can do extremities, arms and legs, and then
you have to be relatively thin in order, because if we're just working on muscle in order to see it, don't you have to be relatively thin to then have it do its thing?
That's a good question. I don't know the requirements. I don't know. I know kind of how it works. It's basically just simulating the muscle contraction. I don't know if like you have a certain level of thick tissue on top of it, like if you have a certain amount of fat, if it doesn't work as well. I don't know how it's transducing the signal.
I'm gonna look.
But basically it's like simulating going to the gym. It's just doing the workout for you, but it's not gonna last without you continuing to go.
There's someone in the bariatric community that owns a weight loss clinic. Do you know who I'm talking about? The chick out of California.
Oh yeah, Marilyn.
She has one of those.
Does she? That's yeah, really cool.
They do GLP-3, the new one, and M-Sculpt. I think she had like a special on that. But I always assume it's triple R. Yeah, the new one. Like I, though it's a peptide, she doesn't have like the regular one hasn't been released, or the FDA approved one. But
Retta.
I always assumed that that wouldn't work unless you were already relatively thin, so you could see the abs that you were creating. Like I always thought of that as more of like, I'm relatively thin and I want ripped abs.
Well, here I'm gonna go. We're gonna use ChatGPT. We're gonna see what it says.
So disclosure. It might have been made up by ChatGPT.
That's right. I've learned that Chat's only on an eighth grade level, just FYI. So EM Sculpt is a non-surgical muscle stimulation treatment that uses high-intensity electromagnetic energy to force muscles to contract way harder than you ever could voluntarily. 20,000 plus muscle contractions in about 30 minutes. While you just lay there, your body thinks you're doing the most intense workout for your life without sweating. Those intense contractions activate deep muscle fibers, strengthen and thicken muscle tissue, improve muscle tone and firmness, and trigger muscle growth similar to resistance training. Your body adapts by building muscle to handle that level of demand. Crazy. I've never even heard of this. For it to work, you need about typical protocols, 4 sessions over 2 to 3, and each session's about 30 minutes. You still have to work out and all this stuff.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was saying. It's not going to replace working out. It's probably going to enhance, you know, not enhance it. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like synergistic with working out, right? So like it adds on, but it's not going to be super useful alone. And again, you have to keep it up. So I think
I would think that for like a bodybuilding show. Like I'm trying to get the last two abs to pop through and I have done everything I can. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like another situation where I randomly need abs for a short period of time. I don't know.
Yeah, probably like celebrities or, you know, any swimmers that are trying to like look perfect or whatever. For their meats, I don't know. Like, just trying to think.
Maybe you're going to the beach in the summer, and
But I think you'd have to be relatively thin to begin with.
Yes, probably yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You are correct.
It even says here it does not replace weight loss. It does not replace remove loose skin, and it does not give dramatic sculpting alone. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the other one. Radio frequency treatments for skin tightening.
That part of my post-op. I'm curious what your opinion on these are.
You had radio frequency as part of your post-op?
Yeah. So the lady that did my lymphatic drainage.
I was going to say, please don't tell me you're a cool sculpt.
No. She did a part of her part of her lymphatic massage after I had the reverse tummy tuck was that one.
The lady doing your lymphatic massages? No.
Yeah.
She what did device the did she... frequency on you?
I think so.
That one is a little more, I mean, I wouldn't call that. Okay, so we're saying non-surgical. It is not surgical. But it's not non-invasive, I would say, because usually there's either like holes being punched in the skin. Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like something a lymphatic massage person should be doing.
I was going to say, Ashlyn, did you get holes in your body?
Ashlyn, describe what you have. Did you have red light therapy?
No, it was like this machine. I'm trying to see. Yeah, it kind of looked like this. I think there's two different. There's like a radio frequency skin tightening, which is different because there's no holes punched in. It's supposed to like create more collagen, and she just did it as a part. It was like a machine that it was like warm that she like did as part of the massage. No idea. And it's funny when you Google it, I did find like the little machine she would bring.
Wait. Yeah, it's like a almost like an ultrasound, it looks like.
Yeah, it kind of looks like an ultrasound.
Oh.
My guess is okay. There's probably like two, just like issue picture. What is this?
Okay. I mean, it's good to know. Usually the radio frequency we talk about when we talk about skin tightening, it can be, you say non-surgical, but it can be like done awake, I guess, which some surgeries can be done awake. But it is a little bit more invasive than like M-Sculpt and Cool Sculpting that we've been talking about so far. Because like I said, at least in art, when I talk about that, it's one of two different types of devices. There can be like radio frequency, like microneedling, right? Or there can be the two big names companies out there are InMode and Apex Medical, which make radio frequency devices. One is BodyTite is the device, and the other one is Renuvion. Those are a little bit more invasive than the other things, but not that doesn't have to be necessarily done in the operating room. Although it's frequently combined with that.
I would say that's the one that you often recommend with lipo, right? And sometimes people will say no to, and you're like, okay, but you're not going to get the best results.
Yes.
You don't. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Got it.
I think those work very well in combination. So in non-weight loss patients, right, again, they're like two different patient populations. In non-weight loss patients, radio frequency can be done by itself with lipo without any skin removal, right? Again, someone young, stubborn area of fat, but maybe they have a little bit more fat to skin ratio when you or skin to fat ratio when you want to tighten the skin that's left behind without doing an excisional procedure. In weight loss patients, I found that adding radio frequency even with a skin removal procedure. So let's say you're taking the skin off of the arm. If you're taking the skin off of here, the skin that's left behind, I want to tighten and I want to improve that skin quality. So I'll add radio frequency to the skin I leave behind. And I found that that gives generally a better result, less kind of relaxation of the tissue postoperatively. So it can be beneficial in the weight loss patients. And I've used it that way. You know, radio frequency is really just like heat, essentially. It's adding heat and causing tightening. Again, it can be external, like I think what sounds like what you were describing, Ashlyn, or internal underneath the skin.
And I don't know if it did anything, but it felt nice. I mean, particularly during a lymphatic drainage, it's cold, you know, you're laying there, you know, half naked. So it was a nice like additive or
almost
added
like a massage.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it did anything, though, because I don't know what it would have been without it. I think that's the hard part about a lot of these things. It's like, so if you didn't have lymphatic massages, would it look better? Would it look worse? We don't know because we didn't do a study where we did, you know, I went through it once without and I did it once with. I certainly felt better. So for me, that's like, that's what I went off of when I had the next surgery is it was like, well, I felt better. I think I was less swollen.
Mm-hmm. I think, again, I don't know what you had in terms of radio frequency. I think that's probably not going to be anything external is not going to be as effective as something internal, which are some of those devices that I mentioned. Not to say that they won't help. I just don't know how much of a difference you're gonna find. Like I said, maybe it just makes you feel better. So why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it says it's basically like it heats and stimulates the collagen and elastin in your skin. Tightens existing collagen fibers, signals your body to make more collagen, improves for firmness over time.
So yeah, I would say in my experience, that's kind of so close to what you're saying, Mel. I would say for weight loss patients, I see an improvement in skin quality when I've added Renuvion.
Nice.
And for the most part, in weight loss patients, I'm adding it to the kind of the leftover of what I didn't cut out. Occasionally, like on the back, I can just use Renuvion. Again, we're not talking about the people with like kind of rolls coming off their back, but patients who just have a little bit of extra skin to fat ratio. Once we remove that fat, I want to just tighten it without cutting it out. On the back, it works pretty well for weight loss patients who don't have that problem. Let's say anywhere else, really not so much. It's excision plus Renuvion in the area we haven't cut out or radio frequency.
Nice.
I keep saying Renuvion because that's what I use, but both devices work well in the right hands. So,
the another one is we kind of mentioned it, but ultrasound for fat reduction, is that real? Does that even work?
Ultrasound without some energy by itself, like Vaser, but that's like a surgical tool generally, because you're going to do that before you liposuction. And that uses energy to disrupt the fat molecules. It doesn't really just remove it. But that would be a surgical procedure. I don't know that you can have ultrasound by itself remove fat. Was there a device that you...
too good to be true.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. You mean that thing that like showed me I had a baby? That can make me not be fat? Like, let's go.
I mean, so there can be like some... It's kind of like... what was the first one? Cool sculpting that we talked about. You can have like ultrasonic cavitation, which is non-invasive. So it's similar idea. It's sending like ultrasound waves. Similar process to what's it called? Cool sculpting. But again, I would say the same warning or precaution. It's like that very specific, kind of targeted patient. Not a history of weight loss or significant weight loss, stubborn area of fat, good skin quality.
I think that's the name of the skin quality too. It's like going to be, it's really take a look at your skin. I'm not trying to be rude, but some people, oh, come on, Dirt Mike. If you guys are watching this online, this cat will not.
Your cat has never made an appearance on our podcast. Look at her. She's like biscuit making machine, front and center. Has no idea they were recording a podcast. Doesn't care.
Hit me in the face with your tail.
That's funny. She's really not even down there with you.
No, she came to the door and scratched at it. So I was like, I'll let her in. She doesn't ever do that. It must be just really cold upstairs. Just like, let me in. It's too cold. It's cold here. We're in the 40s. So
yeah. I was going to say your weather is probably not the same as ours.
No, I heard y'all that's sunny, 80 degrees.
It's not going to be 80 until tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to be 80.
It was cold for us last week, but our cold is very different from your cold.
Oh, I know. I have too many people I know are in freaking Florida. Like, I have like 6-7 people I talk to in Florida, and they're all just like, hee, hee, hee. And I'm like showing them out my front door where it's like super foggy and cold.
Foggy this morning.
And they're cool. they're like, it's cold here. It's 55. I'm like, that's nothing. That's hilarious to me. But I know you guys are not used to that kind of weather. So, bunch of pansies. No, just
okay, I have one that sometimes I'll see come up. Kybella injections.
Oh, Kybella. Yeah. Yes.
Tell us about that. Is anyone a good candidate for that?
So Kybella, unless it's gotten a widened FDA indication, so that has an FDA indication for the submental fat, kind of the fat here. So it's about 1,000 to 1,500 a treatment, and we're just talking about this area. So that's like a one syringe. Usually you need 2 or 3 treatments. So you kind of, that's the recurring theme here. You see with these non-invasive things, it takes multiple rounds of treatments. It's usually not like a one and done, kind of like lipo in general is one and done if you get it done right the first time. And it's basically an acid, and it goes in and kind of dissolves the fat. It initially will, but it's a quick thing, 20, 30 minutes in an office. It is a needle. So it's kind of minimally invasive, not entirely non-invasive like some of the other devices. And then you can use it in other areas. It's just off label. Where is I going with this?
What does that mean, off-label? You're just, like, it's just not common, or?
Off-label just means FDA hasn't approved it for that use, right? But it melts fat here, so it's going to melt fat anywhere else. The FDA just hasn't cleared it for that.
It's taking their time.
I would imagine, too, because the volume that you would need, if you need a whole syringe just for here, if you were trying to do, like, a big area, you're probably going to need a lot
of syringes.
And that would probably require more safety of, like, how many syringes is too many syringes. And
yeah, there's a few, there are a few doctors. I know a good friend in New York, he's, like, huge on injectables, and he's done multiples, he calls it, got a name, like a trademark name, like surgery in a syringe or something. He probably does a lot of Kybella injections, like for the body. The benefits are like almost zero downtime, right? Because you're not recovering from an operation. it might end up costing the same or not, if not more than lipo, but you're like back to work that day. The big thing with Kybella is you have a lot of swelling and redness initially. That takes about a week and then it starts to come down. And again, it's not a one treatment and you're done type thing. So you'll need multiple treatments.
And for those that are listening, they're pointing to the underneath your neck, right?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thanks.
No, you're good.
But not everyone's on video.
So, okay. So like the double chin situation.
The double chin. But remember, a lot of patients with that problem may have a lot of loose skin too. So you, again, in a weight loss patient, like if you have, like, I have a lot of patients come in and they're like, what do they call it? A turkey?
Turkey neck. Yeah.
That is not, this is the terrible idea if that's you. Remember, Kybella is treating fat, not skin.
So that's also something, listeners, you need to really look at is like, what is the treatment really doing? Because like, I just assumed when you first were talking, oh, we could do it for turkey necks. And then it's like, no, you're not, like, it's not going to help your skin. Then no. And that would be something you would do, right? Or do you do that kind of stuff?
I don't do faces, but you need a facelift or a neck lift, right, to treat this the area. If you have that turkey neck, that skin that's kind of hanging down, you either have to cut it right out here, which I've done a few times for patients just because they don't want a neck lift or a facelift. It's a, you know, this is a lot cheaper. Yeah. Doing something like right on the neck is a lot cheaper than doing a full-blown face and neck lift. That's about all I'll do. And I don't do them very often. I really, like I said, I've gotten away from doing face and neck stuff. That's kind of one of the few things I'll do. But usually the best treatment is a face neck lift.
Nice. Because then you need it to kind of match.
Match the body?
With your face and your neck. Like, all right, we got this all fixed. Yes. But then like, nothing else is
not a good idea to do it by itself.
But I think for some people who just have loose skin but have relatively, like, they're younger and so their face... I definitely could see cases where just getting your neck done, but it is an interesting conundrum you could get in.
Yeah, I would say the people who usually just go for kind of like the neck, we do a Z-plasty, so it's not a straight incision. It's like a zigzag, just so you don't get any contracture here, right? Because if you put a scar along your neck, you can get like webbing. I would say those patients usually aren't ready to have a facelift. They don't feel like they're old enough.
Yeah.
Or they're not going to afford, like, they don't want to pay for a facelift. Like, maybe I'm doing their tummy and breasts, and they're like, I'm not, you know, I want to save up for the facelift in 10 or 15 years. But this really bugs me because I look in the camera or whatever in the mirror and I see it. So we just kind of do that for them while they're asleep.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
Is there any other injectable, like, Kybella, or that's the only one that's for, like, fat?
I think for fat reduction, Kybella is the only one, at least the only one I know of. You know, the other one that would be pertinent in patient in this patient population would be any kind of like cellulite treatment.
Okay.
There have been several on the market over the last like 5 or 10 years. I think many have actually come off the market either because they didn't show very good efficacy or just didn't work. Like, I think the FDA either pulled them off, they pulled themselves off because they weren't doing very well. And the latest one that's been out probably about 2 years now. Is called Avalee. And so that is, again, minimally invasive. You can do it in the office. You can combine it with other things. But basically, it's like a cannula, like we would do liposuction or any of these other devices we've talked about. Tiny little, you know, incision in the skin. And then you go in. And so cellulite is, you have your skin and you have your muscle. There's that thin layer of fascia above the muscle. And there's some kind of tissue connecting those two that's just tight and pulling down on the skin. So you get a little dimple. And so that device goes in and you kind of, you have a little technique for finding that band of tissue. And you go in and just kind of release it or cut it. And that has been shown to work very well.
I've never even heard of anything like that.
I didn't realize what cellulite was. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool device. I think the problem with weight loss patients is if you look, you know, say a lot, usually women, and then it's going to be like the buttocks and the thighs, right? That's usually where you see it. The problem in weight loss patients is knowing the difference between cellulite and hanging skin. And even for us, sometimes it's difficult to appreciate. And you can't distinguish cellulite from kind of a dimple just from like hanging skin without fixing the hanging skin first. And then doing the cellulite reduction, you know, after you've done that, after you've lifted the skin, essentially.
Is that what you guys do?
So we'll usually do that. We'll do the cellulite reduction. It also combines really well with fat transfer. So you kind of like lift, fill, and then release the cellulite.
Why do some people get cellulite and some people don't? Even when either both genetics. Overweight or both, it's just straight genetics.
It's genetics and anatomy. Yeah, nothing crazy or nothing you can do to prevent it or avoid it.
Yeah, that's always so fat. It's always surprising to me sometimes people who have it or don't have it, including myself. Like I don't have cellulite, but I've had thinner clients or clients with smaller bodies who have significant cellulite, and I'm always like confused by like why, but it makes sense. It's not really because you're fat or not. It has
has nothing to do with being overweight. Absolutely not. It's just pure anatomy and just tissue.
Wait, say that a little bit more. Hold on, a little louder for us in the back. So cellulite is not tied to just being fat.
It has nothing to do with being fat.
Okay, so we all thought it did. I'm surprised. So good to know. And then, so basically it's just genetics, how your body forms and all the things.
Correct.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I like that.
It's also interesting that like some people don't develop it at all.
Again, it's anatomy. Yeah, I don't know how much associated with genetics. I mean, and Mel, maybe to take a step back, like you were saying, you thought it had to do with being overweight.
Yeah,
I can imagine where like being overweight might reveal it more, but. Okay. Skinny people can have it too, if that makes sense. So I don't think it necessarily has to do with being overweight. It just might be that you have it and you may not notice it if you're skinny, but if you gain weight, you might start to notice it, if that makes sense.
Mm. That does make sense.
Fascinating.
Rashman's got something over there.
No, I just think that's bad because
it's fascinating.
But I've always wondered why some people get it and some people don't.
Same. Well, while we're talking about cellulite, we should just talk about stretch marks too, just real quick.
Yes. Do you have any treatment for that?
Yeah. Is there? I don't think there is.
Cutting it out. That's the only treatment, unfortunately.
Okay. Because once you break that, it's the derma. Is that right? There's like...
Yeah, absolutely right. So you've got epidermis, right? That's your top layer of skin. And then dermis is the deep layer. And stretch marks are the deep skin breaking, like you said, right? That's the dermis. And once you break that, that's why the layer or the stretch marks, when you look at that, that skin is very thin because it's the deep layer is broken and it's just the top layer of skin that's still there. So that's why there's no treatment for it, because you'd have to find a way to kind of almost get underneath the skin and sew that back together or close that back together. So really the only treatment for it is cutting that kind of damaged skin out.
So all the lotions aren't going to do anything.
No lotions and potions.
I already knew that because like I've tried them, of course, but like it just doesn't really work, you know, at all.
It's tough because especially...
How many tubs of cocoa butter have you
eaten? Yeah, bio oil.
1,000 tubs.
Yes, it could swim in it. Makes your skin feel nice. I mean, I guess there's that.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Like you're smooth, but the stretch marks are still there. And what sucks is like that's totally has to be with genetics and body type, because I know women that have gotten really big and they barely have any. And then girls that were like small and then got big, now they're fucking like gnarly stretch marks.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I never understood that either. Like, because that's something, despite having no cellulite, I have a lot of stretch marks. A lot. Even what we've cut out.
I would say that probably has to do with genetics in terms of skin quality, but everyone at some point is going to break their dermis if they gained weight. I think, you know, how badly your skin gets damaged as a result is probably has more to do with genetics, skin color, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because some people a couple of my good friends, like their stretch marks are like purple looking.
Or red, yes.
And mine are more like clear looking. So it's kind of interesting.
Mine have changed over time. They were, when I was heavier, they were darker and they are lighter now. I mean, you can definitely still see that. And a lot of mine have been cut off at this point. But it is interesting because, again, like I have friends who have been heavier than I have and have a lot less stretch marks than I do. But I probably think, too, like how you gained your weight, how quickly you gained your weight, how long you had gained your weight. Maybe that has to do with it, too.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, you mentioned some of the purple versus clear, right? So the purple ones, and I don't, the purple ones are usually from someone like having torn something and there was maybe like a vessel there. Right. So now you're seeing the vessel, which is either blue or kind of like bluish as if it's a vein or more like clearish if it's an artery. Or there could just be kind of a little bit of like bleeding underneath the skin. That's usually going to look purple. Most of those usually end up more clear just as the vessels go away. But yes, it can have color in it.
Interesting. This is like a wild conversation.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fascinating. I'm learning to.
Like, how about facelift versus, like, injectable facelift, you know, where they'll give you, like, 14, 15.
Oh, years. Yeah.
There is a child, Dysport, D-Y-S.
Dysport's a, yeah, so that's just a class, or not a class. It's a brand of neurotoxin, kind of like Botox, or
yeah.
There's so many that have hit the market in the last 5 to 10 years. Like, Botox was kind of the only one. I can't remember if Dysport or Xeomin came second, and now there's like 7 or 10 different kinds.
Or even within the one, I know the one you use in lips, I can't remember which one it is. There's like 7 it's different
Juvederm,
kinds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Juvederm. It's like this is soft and this one is firmer and like it has all different, like this one's more used in lips.
I love how this described it. It says dermal fillers for volume, loose lips, cheeks, and jawline.
Loose lips. I feel like that's not.
Just like what? They're just falling off?
Funny. Yeah. Loose lips.
I thought loose lips was a term for people who gossip too much.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
And
too.
Like, and filler is not going to fix that.
Choice of words for ChatGPT.
Thanks, Kat. Making us laugh over here.
Yeah, that's more of a neurotoxin. So there's really, I would say, no surgical replacement for that and not really a treatment for. You know, I mean, it's like to freeze your muscles or to relax the muscles so they're not activating as much. That's usually more of like a facial treatment.
Right. Do they use Botox for anywhere else on the body or is it just face?
They use it for other indications outside the face and neck. Like you can, you know, like these bands here, you can Botox. I don't know that they use it for any other. Well, that's not true. So sometimes, like, I mean, this is like getting outside of plastic surgery, but like people who sweat, you can use Botox to paralyze the nerves, the nerve endings. So like in your palms, if you get like really bad sweating. Okay. Again, Botox is something you have to repeat. It lasts only 3 to 6 months. Sometimes when someone has a big hernia and you're going in to fix it, you'll Botox the muscles of the abdominal wall a few weeks before. That's been shown to help keep the hernia together over time, just as the body's healing. It's not trying to pull back. And then people use it for like bladder stuff, like urologists and things like that. But yeah, outside of, I would say most uses in the face for aesthetic reasons.
Face.
Yeah, because I think that's the only other one that comes up a lot, like invasive versus non-invasive. It's sometimes I'll have clients that will talk about having like a full facelift or like a doctor or injector will offer instead like a
pump full of fillers.
Yeah, the only down thing or the one, it's like it goes away, right? So you may have to do it over and over again. I think sometimes that's a tough look to have for a while before it like calms down, which having a full facelift definitely is also there's downtime. It's probably easier to look overdone, but the good part of it is that it goes away. So if you're overdone with an actual facelift, it could be more challenging to, you know, recover from that versus, you know, the 14 syringes on Dysport.
Yeah. I mean, you know, syringes aren't cheap. Syringes of filler aren't cheap either. Usually you're going to pay between $700 to $2,000 per syringe, right? So getting 14
could have the facelift
syringes each. Yeah, I mean, that's almost the cost of a facelift. So
that's
I would tend to tell people like things like the lip and even the lips, like you can put fat in or you can do like a graft if you want like that permanent result. So you're not having to constantly go every few years and get your lips filled. Same thing with the cheeks. I mean, fat grafting is a really great alternative. And it's going to last forever unless you were to lose a significant amount of weight, right? It's your own tissue. The other cool thing there's been on the market, the FDA approved about a year, maybe a little bit more now, kind of an off-the-shelf fat filler. So just like we have like dermal substitute that are off-the-shelf, this is a filler. It's so far the one they approved is for the body, so kind of like neck down, breast, buttocks, hip dips, things like that. And this same company that makes Ovaly actually is the one who's purchased or created these products. They are getting ready to get an FDA approval for a facial fat filler. So more of a semi-permanent, again, unless you have weight changes, permanent filler for the face.
It's just like any of the other injectables?
Any of the other fillers, except it's fat-based and not, the other fillers are usually like a hyaluronic acid, which is going to go away over time.
That's the question. What's in these fillers? What's going on?
Lotions and potion. Right?
And potion, no.
I don't want to know.
So most dermal fillers are hyaluronic acid, which is something naturally that we have in our body. But because it's a synthetic, it's going to dissolve over time or go away over time. Okay.
Definitely.
So usually most fillers will last like 1 to 2 years. There's a few other ones like Sculptra is more of a permanent filler or semi-permanent filler. That's made up of a different acid called PLLA or poly-L-lactic acid. Again, another, it's synthetic, I guess, but it's another acid and it's going to stay somewhat permanently in the body. It is good for facial filling.
Interesting. Because that's like the biggest thing. I watch a lot of horror films. So I'm like, I've seen where they're like, I'm going to inject you. And it's like, you know, all that stuff that like, it's like the foam that's going into your installation and stuff, you know, like they're
your attic.
So that's what you think of when people are getting Botox and stuff. You're thinking of them getting injected with blow-in insulation. No, the foam insulation.
The foam. Yeah. It's because I watched one where it was done in their butt.
Well, that's like a thing. We talk about Miami, like where people were getting all sorts of bad. Like if anyone offers you butt injections, like that's not FDA. There's nothing. Is that correct, Dr. Batis? There's nothing FDA approved to inject in your butt to give yourself a bigger butt. If someone is doing that, is most likely like illegal bad stuff.
Yeah, unless it's your own fat.
Cement.
Yeah, definitely not cement. Don't get silicone injected. Silicone implants are FDA approved. Your own fat. I mean, I don't think there's an FDA approval for your own fat, but that's, you know, standard. And then this aloe clay, that was the fat I was talking about. That's off the shelf. That's FDA approved. I don't think anything else is FDA approved for, and nor should you.
Yeah. Even so if anyone is offering you butt injections, do not get them. It's bad.
Thank you.
Don't get them in their basement. Don't get them in their garage. Don't have them come over to your house and do it. Red flag.
Yeah, we do a lot of silicone kind of removal or silicone corrections. That's like when they inject liquid silicone.
I would knew shit. Someone that had that and it like turned black. It was so, so, I mean, it, what's the word? Like it rotted around. I mean,
necrotic. Yeah. It looks good for a little bit, like very little bit. And then afterwards it starts to cause a lot of problems.
Because it's not supposed to be in your body. And your body's like, oh, that's not supposed to be here. And it's not made in a way like I would assume some of the Botox and stuff, your body doesn't like that either. But it's like not silicone. It's not. I don't know. I watched this like YouTube video and the guy was. It was actually on steroids. That's what we were watching the YouTube video about. But he also did these butt injections.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I give like 150 of these. I'm like, hold on, time out. Who's letting the steroid man give them 150 injections to me? And he's like, they're like, what is it? He's like, I don't know. They're like in a hotel room. I'm like, the whole thing. I'm like, why are you doing this on YouTube? Like, why?
I've had patients tell, like, you know, we get, like I said, I get a fair amount of these like silicone injection patients, like who had it 10, 15, 20 years ago. And it's crazy. So some were done outside the country, but some were done. They'll tell me, like, yeah, I was in someone's garage and like they had a patient from like North Carolina. And I was like, man, this is crazy. Why would you let someone operate on you in like a non-sterile environment, like a hotel room or a garage or a house?
I think there was a time where like wealthy people in our eyes were having these parties. And then people would come and do Botox.
Botox parties.
Botox party. And like the injector would come to your house. And that seemed like they're so wealthy that the injector is going to come to you. So I could kind of see how maybe that's slightly confused. Like you thought, oh, I'm getting better service. They're coming to me. Because I remember a client told me that one time. And I was like, but they weren't doing this in an office, like a sterile. And they were like, oh, you know, I didn't really think of that. They like used alcohol wipes and stuff. And I was kind of like, okay.
Yeah. How many alcohol wipes?
Clean them. Right.
But
no, that person just, I think, had something in their, not the butt injection. No, that guy wasn't using anything. And he was on YouTube. He's recording himself doing illegal shit saying, I don't care. I mean, I'll send it to you guys. It was a very
interesting. I want to say, please send that. I want to see it, like, stat, because I do have some care.
And he's talking while the lady's laying there. And I'm like, lady, this is a YouTube video about steroids. You shouldn't be on it.
Was he in the U.S.?
Yes.
No. How? How can that guy, he's not busted yet?
Probably. At this point, he is a YouTube video. I'll send it to you guys. It was actually really fun. I think the world of aesthetics is really interesting in general. I think like the world of aesthetics, as it's going to be in the future, is going to be even more interesting. Yeah. And I think there is, I don't know, not aesthetics in the way, I should frame that better. Not in the way of like plastic surgery, in the way of like steroids and people's bodies. Like
wellness health.
Yeah.
It's got weird. There's people out there that are like, I saw this one guy that like, he has a regimen that he goes by. He takes like, I don't know, like 30, 40 fucking supplements. And he like, you know, they do the testing of like how old you really are, like in the inside part.
Is that one that got the blood from his son?
Oh, I know that one, but no.
Okay.
I know that one, but no. That's funny. You know,
that was actually a really heart. Like, you better understood his craziness when you watched his documentary.
Yes.
Like, the life that he lived, the way his life came to be. Like, I understand psychologically how he ended up where he ended up and wants to live forever.
That's, like, the biggest deal is that they want to live forever. This guy is, like, he's just trying to shave off years. Like, or not really shave off. Like, he's, like, trying to gain years. So he's like, okay, well, I'm 40, and then he's like 30, and he's like registering at like an 18-year-old for
that's
like
fitness. Biohacking?
That's yeah, they're biohackers. And they talked about
I've heard of that.
The like the whites of your eyes. The whiter of your eyes is the better, apparently. So that actually tells
you. Like, your iron?
Yeah, like the whites of it. If it's really white, that means that like you're processing toxins. You're like, you know, like you're using supplements.
That might mean the opposite sometimes. Isn't that how you know when your iron is bad?
I'm going to say, I think the only thing that really indicates is you don't have liver failure.
Mm. Right, because then the yellow, the jaundice happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's something with iron. How like do you when measure... your iron gets really low, I can't.
How do you measure degrees of white?
I mean, I don't know. I'll have to check out the biohacker, figure it out. But it's nuts. Like, that's where our generation's going. They're biohacking themselves and so they can live as long as they can. Like, it's wild. It's wild. Like, that's where this is going.
I don't know.
Now, I did read that, like, getting lymphatic drainage, like massages, can really help just because, like, if you're really swollen. Like if you swell, that would help.
Mm-hmm. Correct. That is true. So we recommend lymphatic massages because, you know, I think as we've talked in other episodes, swelling can be uncomfortable. I don't know that it would cause pain, but definitely like uncomfortable pain, swelling, it can all kind of go together. So I usually tell patients I recommend it because it's going to make your recovery easier and generally keep you more comfortable. I don't know, you know, if someone asks me like, is it going to change the ultimate result? Probably not.
Okay.
But we have a lot of patients who say they feel a lot better after their lymphatic drainage. And it's important that you see someone who's just like, who knows what they're doing when they're doing a lymphatic drainage and not a massage. As I have some patients come in and be like, I had that massage. It was so painful. I couldn't tolerate it. I was like, yeah, that shouldn't be painful. And it should help kind of make your swelling less at the end of the session.
That is one very fascinating thing. Like beginning to end, there is a change. And I always found that kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by change? What do you feel?
So if you took a picture visually right before you started, and then when you were done, you visually could see that there was a difference. Mm-hmm. And I've always found that interesting because usually, you know, stuff like that takes a little while for everything. But that was definitely something that I could see visually. I haven't had one like not outside of surgery, just to like have one. Right. I've only had it.
I mean, you probably don't need one outside of surgery.
No, but I think sometimes people get bought on that like that's a, or like sculpting through massage or with like tools. Mm,
yeah.
But yeah.
I think, you know, you and Ashton, you can probably speak to this better than I can, but in general, what that's going to do is get you at the end of the session, get you close to your true result. Like you might go in and you're like super bloated and swollen, and what they're doing is they're pushing all that fluid back into the lymphatics or back into your lymph nodes, which then drain. And at the end of your 45, whatever hour session, you might not have your final result that the surgeon had on the table, but it's going to be a lot closer than when you walked into the session.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, because I was reading that some people believe that that will actually help your weight loss. So,
yeah, I mean, you can get like they have like I've definitely seen it on like the spa menu.
Right.
Where they offer that. Yeah. Usually there's like where they dehydrate you a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say the weight loss is probably just fluid, not so much.
That's what I thought. That's what I was going to say. I was like, isn't that just fluid in your body just trying to get out? Like,
yes.
Because Eric had to do those, my ex. Like, because they clipped his iliac vein, like, the drainage on everything was wild. So when he had to do PT, they were like, we're setting you up with lymphatic massages for a while. So,
Any other non-surgical ones?
I'm sure there's plenty. I'm trying to think of. I think we covered the big ones, right? Like fat reduction, muscle improvement. There's so many different types of fat reduction, and then skin tightening. I mean, those are kind of the big ones.
Any non-surgical one for breast? I can't think of one, but.
There's a few people who have, and I think they've written some articles about this, who've started doing some, like the radiofrequency. I know they've used Renuvia, and I'm not sure about some of the other devices, but they'll use that to do a breast lift. Now, again, if your nipples are like at your belly button, that's probably not going to work, right? So like, be realistic in what surgery can and cannot do. So if your nipples are down at your belly button, you need a surgical breast lift. But if you need like less than an inch of lift to the nipple, then yeah, you might be a good candidate. Again, that's probably not going to be most patients watching this podcast, most weight loss patients, but
yeah.
That is an option, and it's not, you know, it's I would say minimally invasive, not non-invasive.
Yeah. When I Googled it, it says just the radio frequency tightening would help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I could see that too. If maybe you're someone who is going in just for a implant exchange. You're too old. I was like, what is that word? And maybe you just need a small lift, but you don't want like the full surgical lift.
Yeah, Google does not replace a surgical lift by any means.
I think, you know, one of the things, and I've had conversations with a good friend of mine about this, she's very passionate about like education, is I think a lot of problem, this could just be me, but you guys still maybe think. So I think one of the problems I see when patients coming in is they come in and they're like, I want X, right? It's like, I was having this conversation with a family member the other day. She was like, do I do this machine or this machine? I'm like, well, what's your goal? Like, I can't tell you A or B if I don't know what the goal is, right? So I think if you're a patient considering having plastic surgery, go in and tell the surgeon or the provider what your problem is and what your goals are. And I think that's, then you let them tell you like, this is what I recommend. No, but I would say that's kind of the big thing is like, be careful going in and being like, I want cool sculpting, because you may not understand what it does and what it doesn't do.
Yeah. And I think I definitely got my best results. And I rarely went in and had any idea what they were going to. I was like, this is the problem. Can you fix it? And I was thankful, particularly the last one, who was like, look, we're going to have to debulk because you have lipedema. I don't know why no one's told you this. And then we're going to remove the skin. And probably your best bet is to have a two-step. That's probably not what you want to hear, but that's probably what we need to do. And I was like, oh, that was super helpful, because then I actually got the result that I wanted, because we actually did what needed to be done.
And and I think sometimes the surgeon's going to tell you something you probably don't want to hear. Right? Like I tell patients a lot to two-stage something because it'll give you the best results. And I would say the times where patients are like, well, do what you can in one surgery, they usually come back and they're like, well, I'm not happy because of this. And it's like, okay, but I told you to two-stage and you didn't want to. So, I think that's the thing. And I would say as I've progressed in my career, I'm less likely to let a patient talk me into something that I think is going to give them a bad result, even if they tell me they're going to accept that result, because I've just learned from experience, right?
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, they come back and say, I'm not happy. So I don't want that frustration on them or on me. So I would say, be careful also like talking your surgeon into something they're not recommending for you.
Yeah. Listen to the experts, y'all. Like, they did this work for a reason. They went to school for a reason. Like, and if they're not board certified for the surgical stuff, then don't be in their office. Like, they need to be board certified. Is there any other treatments that we missed at all that were non-surgical that you guys can think of?
I think we've covered.
Right? I think
we covered everything. I don't know what we missed. So.
Well, if anybody can think of them, put them in the in the comment section.
Yeah, throw it in the comments.
About it more, where we want to collaborate all the things. So if you guys have questions.
Yeah, if you had cool sculpting, it actually worked, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, we want to know.
I think it's a scam. I'm not the provider, so I get to say it. I think it's a scam. But I think, like Dr. Breda said, there's probably a small group of people. Probably, if you go on to RealSelf, which is a board where you can, or a website where you can review, I think it's one of the worst rated items of all of RealSelf.
Whoa. What is that called? RealSelf?
RealSelf.
And what is that?
You can rate procedures. And I think there's I'm on there. You can look up surgeons. You can look up procedures. Actually, I'm going to flip that, though, and I think I would imagine that the reason it has such a low rating, and I'm sure you're correct, because I think a lot of people end up unhappy like you, but I think the reason is providers, right, kind of like unethically pushing it to people who aren't good candidates.
Oh, 100%.
So I think if you took the good candidates and asked them, they're probably that 60% who are happy. So basically, it sounds like it's being oversold to people who aren't good candidates.
Because no one even suggested that it wouldn't work.
Of course.
That wasn't even by the way.
Oh, really?
No. But it didn't work. They just said you needed more.
Is it considered a procedure? Like, do you have to sign a consent form if they're not?
Yeah. I mean, I think I had to sign, not like the ones you sign, but I just, I acknowledge I'm having this done at this area.
But did they not tell you?
I'm sure it says somewhere in there. Okay. But their response was, you need more. It's like,
of course.
You need more.
Oh, it didn't work the first time. You got to buy
another
package.
You got to get more. You got to get more. And then it got worse. And they were like,
Yeah, they're just greedy. Greedy.
I have so many questions about this. I will say the other issue is you have to be careful, because some of these things, like, let's talk about CoolScope, right? Like, you'll see at your PCP's office, your gynecologist's office, right? Those guys have zero training in this stuff, right? They have zero training in aesthetics. But now they've bought this, they have a lot of foot traffic, right? I mean, every one of us goes to their PCP at least once a year, if not more often.
Yep.
And so they're like, okay, I have easy targets. Again, I'm not saying it's ethical, but they're like, I have easy targets. I see 100 patients a day in the office, and if I can sell 5 of them CoolSculpt, I've paid for the machine in like 2 months.
Yeah.
So you just have to be careful, because those devices aren't necessarily being being, or the treatments aren't being sold by people who know what it can and cannot do. They're just doing what the company tells them to, and the company wants to sell you treatments. So,
yes. Thinking back on it, going to my hair removal, my laser hair removal. At the time, I'm like, lasers, lasers. They know how to use lasers. Yeah. That's good. We're good. That definitely, I'll tell you, laser hair removal worked like beautifully. I love it. I up and down, like, go get you some. Haven't shaved my legs probably in 8 or 9 years. And I even had like lasting results, which lots of people don't. Except my face. That's the only place that did not, but my arms, legs, no.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you're very fair skinned and you have,
yes, that's I have your real the perfect, hair color. I have really dark hair. You're the great only candidate. Time my really dark hair and very pale skin has paid off. The only time.
The only time. I love it. I love it. Well, guys, this is another episode of us and going over, we went over non-surgical treatments. So if you have any questions or concerns, again, put them in the comment section. Make sure you're following all of us on Instagram or TikTok and hit that subscribe button, of course. And I do have a newsletter that comes out. It's at rsleeflifepodcast.com. It comes actually with a free 13 bariatric recipe cookbook from the Weekly Chew. And JBY is starting to fire up again. So make sure you actually look at the newsletters, sign up for them, because discounts happen in the early phases of doing the event. So, all right, guys, stay safe out there and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.